You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. This is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson. And on the show this week, we're looking at a book. It's a book by Florence Scovel Shinn, and it's called Your Word is Your Wand. I don't know if you've heard of it, maybe you've even read it. I want this next little while together to work as a proper guide in some ways to the book, what it says to us in the plainest of terms, and what Florence was trying to share with us, and how you can actually use it yourself too. I've held a belief for a long time that your word is who you are. So many years ago, when I worked in corporate business and people asked me for a contract, I would say to them, yes, of course, I'll give you a contract, but what you will learn about me is that my word is who I am. And once I give my word, then that word means something. I've always used that phrase to mean something quite specific, though. If I say I will do something, I will do it. And if I say I am speaking the truth, then I am being honest. And if I make you a promise, I will stick to it, and I will always try not to break my word. So my word, for me, carries a lot of integrity, and it's also a measure of what I feel my honesty is, and it's how I think people learn whether or not they can trust me. Well, at the point where I first read this book, that was the only way that I used to understand your word is who you are. It wasn't until I read Florence's book that there was a different meaning that I started to resonate with. Her book had an additional perspective then to this lifelong affirmation of mine, which is that the words you speak are actually what you're in a state of becoming. The words you speak are what you're in a state of becoming. Your words are your wand. Your words birth your thoughts into being. And those thoughts, repeated and spoken, become the person you grow into and the experiences you call in your life garden. Florence published her book, this particular one, in 1928. So it's about 100 years old. And her main idea was really simple. Your spoken words work like a magic wand. Complain and you wishcraft more complaints and things to complain about. Speak with gratitude and you wishcraft more to be grateful for. And she wrote her book in a very plain way, and she wanted the message to be understood very, very clearly by anyone that was open enough to reading it. I feel that this is one of those energetic super skills that makes a massive difference in a very short amount of time. And I'd suggest, even if you don't intend to even read the book, I'd invite you to listen to this show and then try a little bit of your own wand waving using the word techniques that I'm going to talk to you about, that Florence spoke first to me about. And I'd invite you to try this for 30 days. even 7 days, and see what happens. But if you can really give it 30 days, a complete moon cycle, I would say see what shows up for you, keep a diary, and ultimately, what do you have to lose? So view your words like seeds. I sow a sunflower seed in my garden, and I expect and get a sunflower plant. And if I want a tomato plant, I have to select a tomato seed and sow it. And then what I get is a tomato plant. So the seed is the foundation of what comes next, rather than only what went before. And so Florence taught us that your spoken words work the same way. What are the seeds? What are the word seeds that you are sowing in your life garden? When you say, "I'm tired," often enough, tiredness grows. And if you were to say, "I am rich," wealth will come to you and that will take root as well. Whatever you sow in a discerning way is what will grow in your life garden. The words you speak are the seeds you are planting in your own life every single day, whether you are aware of it or not, whether you notice it or not. And I'm inviting you to start noticing the seeds. What seeds are you sowing? What's the fertile soil that you're sowing them into? The word is the seed and you plant it in your manifestation field. That's another way of looking at it. That's the garden where it can take root and grow. And it activates by how you hold yourself energetically in the story of the words that you're using. So Florence wasn't using this kind of language in 1928. This is my language. But I think she was describing the self-same process. So one of the first things that Florence asks her reader to do is simply to listen to their own daily speech. And then to audit it, just to observe it, to make notes, to catch what it is that you're sowing most of. So perhaps the seeds you've been sowing were planted without really meaning to. Well, when we repeat the same kind of complaints about money, about health, about work, about our relationships, well, so often we stop hearing them as anything other than chatter and background noise. But this is too powerful for that. We have to pay attention to them. Florence called this noise the thoughts of the shared consciousness of humanity, the pool of common beliefs and thought patterns that everyone draws on and contributes to, the shared pool of fearful, limiting talk that most people speak without question. And this creates a repeating, mindless, unconsidered energetic loop in your energy field. Why would anybody want to do that to themselves or anyone else? Florence had spotted that pattern, and her advice was catch yourself mid-sentence if necessary and immediately stop feeding that seed. Sow something different straight away, relentlessly instead. The book Your Word is Your Wand is constructed using decrees. These are Florence's short statements said aloud with real feeling. And you do this until the new pattern has an opportunity to first be sown and then take hold. Florence was clear that the words alone do absolutely nothing unless they're said with a kind of belief. So a seed sown but never watered still sits there doing nothing in the ground. So it is the word that's said with conviction, said as though it has already come true, that actually grows into something more. This is likely to be where I think people can go wrong when they first try this kind of work. They say the decree, but they still feel doubtful underneath. They hope the words will eventually talk themselves into being. Florence taught the opposite approach entirely, actually. She said, you speak as though the outcome has already happened and the doubt has nothing left to hold on to when you do it that way. If you can begin to find any good thing, then you can build that wand word garden from there. So this is what I teach when I encourage my students to work with their manifestation field. If you want to open up that life garden so that you can sow something worthwhile into it, for example, more abundance, then you don't have to use abundance as the energy that you activate. Let me see if there's a better way to explain it. If you're somebody who has never felt the benefit of abundance, how can you feel what it would feel like to be abundant? It's as if that abundance is out of your reach, and no amount of anybody saying to you, feel what you feel like when you're abundant, and then home in on that, because you've got no point of reference. So with my students, I would say to them, okay then, how would you feel if you were abundant? And they usually say, oh, it'd be great, and I could do this, and I could help people out, and my life would change. And I'd say, great, and how would you feel if your life changed? How would you feel if you were able to improve your life so much? How would you feel if you were able to do those things for the people you care about? And they usually say, oh, I'd feel awesome. And I say, that feeling that you're feeling now, that feeling of awesomeness, start there, okay? I feel awesome that I am able to change my life and the lives of those I love. That would be better to start with than homing in on, I am abundant. So you speak as though the outcome has already happened and that doubt has nothing left to hold on to. What can you feel grateful for? Use that. I'm grateful to have a warm bed for this night to sleep in. That warm bed is an expression of abundance. Now you might say to me, ah, well, what I mean by abundance is a major lottery win or having a treasure chest that's full of jewels. And I agree with you, absolutely. Both of those are one kind of abundance. Another kind of abundance might be radical health, or it might be to be able to help your children or your friends or a business or a project or a charity that gives you a great amount of joy. What I'm saying is to be in that position would leave you, I hope, feeling really grateful. You'd be in a state of grace. So if you're able to tap into that, as you grow that in your garden, the garden will give you reasons to be graceful and grateful. If you would be grateful in any way for any kind of thing, then that sows a seed for all kinds of marvellous magical abundance to come into your life garden. So don't worry if there is something you seek, whether it's love and you've never really felt it, or whether it's abundance and you have no reference for that. There's still other ways that you can find your way to planting that specific seed in your life garden. And also Florence insists that belief without action, well, it just won't grow very little. She said that if you are decreeing money, make some room for it, okay? If we said that the universal energies provide 99% of what you're calling in and 1% relates to your own action, what is it that you could do? So, for example, if you're saying to yourself, I would really like £5 million, I would be saying to you, okay, where are you going to put that £5 million? Mm-hmm. Are you going to invest it? How do you intend to allocate it? Make a plan for it. Make room for it. Make space for it. Perhaps looking at which investments accounts would take care of it best and how you could arrange for those investment accounts to be set up. Even if you don't do those things yet, look into it. That's the 1%. If you want a loving partner, I would suggest, why don't you take a look at your home and make some space for their clothing in your wardrobe? Clear a top drawer for them so that they can put their knickknacks in it. Maybe make space at the bathroom sink. Perhaps buy a towel and a little face cloth that you keep in the bathroom, especially for them, for when they arrive. And so the spoken word, as well as that physical action, they're going to work together and amplify in the same way as if you sow a seed in the ground and then you water it and place it in the sunlight. Well, of course, that seed will flourish and grow. But if you leave something out, growth will slow right down. Maybe it'll never begin. You may say you want to make room in your life for someone, but do you really? So Florence worked with ordinary students. They came to her, they had ordinary life problems. They had money worries or health worries, work that had dried up that they were trying to understand, and relationships, as many of us find, that had gone wrong. And she had absolutely no interest in teaching laborious theories or long drawn out processes. She was very direct and she wanted to bring action straight away. And she wanted every student that left a session with her to have a phrase that they could say immediately to get this ball rolling. Something that would start the process for them right here, right now. And I hope that you will feel that way too by the end of my show today. Florence says that most people seem far more careful about what they would sow in their garden or what they would dress themselves in if they were going to go out. Much more careful about those things than what they would speak through their mouth, whether or not they were by themselves or surrounded by close confidants. You might be happy to stand in front of somebody in your dressing gown or in your nightclothes and feel that it is okay. And yes, of course, it would be. But what are the words that you use? Are you as carefree about those in front of other people? So just like nobody seems to scatter random seeds across a flower bed and simply hope for the best, right? And in the same way as you wouldn't put clothes on without really thinking about how to combine them together or what looks good on you or even most attractive, you know, what gives a good impression. Most people still say whatever comes into their head all day long. They don't curate it. They don't think about it. And then they would ask, why is my life looking the way it does? You know, and Florence's whole book is really an invitation for all of us to bring the same care to your speech that a good gardener brings to his garden. So in a bit, let's go further into her teaching and let's really start to release whatever's not serving you. There will be something. Teaching a bit on forgiveness and then also bringing in what she calls the game of life.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment, we explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you.
You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Amanda Nelson, and today we're looking at Florence Scovelshin's book, Your Word is Your Wand. Your words are seeds, and whatever you speak with feeling and repetition is what you will end up sowing and then growing in your life garden. One of the teachings that I have found to be very useful in this book is what Florence calls the law of non-resistance. There are many teachings in this book I love, and this is as good as any to start with. She taught that whatever we push against, well, we make it stronger. Arguing with a situation, for example, or worrying at it, or going over it again and again in the mind, is like pulling up a seed that you've already sown and then looking to see if it has grown yet. Nothing gets the chance to take root when you do that. If you keep pulling up the seed you've sown to check on it, leave it be. And her instruction was to bless the situation you want to be free of and then just let it go completely. All right, don't keep checking to see if it's gone. Speak with what she calls a decree of peace over it and remove any of your own interference so that the right outcome has room to grow. Florence also taught a lot about forgiveness. She treats it as practical rather than a moral lesson, though. She has a lot to say about it. She is very direct about this as well. And she teaches that holding on to resentment towards someone is actually like leaving a big rock sitting on top of a newly sown seed bed. Nothing can grow there until the rock is removed. And her repeated instruction was to release the energy towards anyone that might be still occupying a space in your mind, especially if it was there with an old resentment that you have. I mean, it wasn't really done for the benefit of the other person, though inevitably I've seen in the energy field that when you release an old resentment you have, you also set the other person free. So inevitably some aspect of this process is going to benefit the other person as well. But mostly this is done because the person who's carrying the resentment, that might be you, is also going to be the one paying for it. So every single day it stays there, you continue to pay the price. You continue to leave that boulder on your seedbed. So why don't you just let go of that big bulky rock? How does that serve the greater you? And Florence also talks about intuition. She said intuition is only showing you what you need to do to get the next step, and nothing beyond that next step. So play the game of life one step at a time, she says. Trust that the next part of the path is going to become clear exactly when you need it to. But it's not likely to come clear before that point. And I think that matches the guidance that I would regularly receive from my own higher self and guides. They always seem to say to me, you will arrive when you need to arrive. You will arrive in the same clear and timely way, and it will come with what you can manage right now at the place you are right now, but you navigate your pathway one step at a time. So if you were to take part in playing a game and you wanted to play that game to win, or at least do well, then you need to understand the rules and then use the rules to your advantage as you take part in the game. And the way you win the game or do well at the game, well, Florence believed that life being the game has rules. So you need to know the rules, because then you're going to be able to play life well. So her teachings, I suppose you could say, have a lot to do with the rules of the game of life. And her rules are built entirely around different causes and different thoughts. The outer conditions of your life are simply what's already grown from the seeds you sowed through your thought and speech in the past. So I'll say that again. The condition of your life is simply the result of what has already been growing from the seeds that you sowed through your thought and your speech in the past. Change what you sow, and the harvest inevitably has to change to match it. She places a lot of emphasis on listening. Listen to your words, and then to stamp out anything that sounds like it is based on fear, or it's grown out of some kind of complaint about a condition of life that you don't want. Stop sowing those seeds, she says. Don't let them take root. So one stray complaint here or there is not really going to do that much harm, because, of course, it requires you to foster and grow and pay attention to something on a repeated basis for it to be able to flourish and grow. So to complain about something once, that's not going to do much harm. But the same complaint, the same story, the same pattern, repeated time and time again, perhaps daily, hourly, that's a different matter. And repetition always reinforces the re-sowing of a field full of those seeds that are only going to grow into more things that you might not actually want. So Florence, what she did was she wrote decrees down, and she wrote decrees down so that she could always give her students something to leave with. She thinks in terms of she thinks in terms of helping her students so that immediately they can start changing the garden that they're growing. One of the stories that she has in the book is all about a lady who came to see her. She only had $2 in her purse. One of the reasons I love this is she talks about having a magic purse, and I would certainly love to have a magic purse. Well, the woman came to Florence with just $2 in to her name, and she asked Florence for help with money. And Florence had the woman speak a blessing over the $2 that were already in her purse, and declared that this woman held the magic purse of the spirit, one that could never run empty, where money leaving was always met immediately by money arriving. And this must really have shifted something in the woman with the $2, because even before she left Florence, what she was doing is she opened her purse and she offered Florence one of her $2. At first, Florence wasn't sure whether or not she should receive it, whether it was right to accept that amount from this woman. But then Florence herself realised that if she did not receive that $1, then it placed some form of resistance on the abundance that that woman had already full faith in happening for her. And so Florence received that. And about a few weeks later, the woman received a gift of $6,000. She became very wealthy indeed. So when asked about it, Florence always said the same thing, actually, about what happened with that lady. She said it wasn't actually luck. She said it was a kind of fearless faith paired with the spoken word. Those $2 were never really the point. What the lady chose to believe about them and her magic purse was the point. For work and career, Shin used a phrase that is now, I think, very well known. It was a phrase that says, "I wish for a wonderful position arrived at in a wonderful way, bringing wonderful service and wonderful pay." And for health, Florence leans in on the idea of the body responding directly to the mind. One of her core statements affirms that every cell of the body is filled with light, which I believe absolutely, and that radiant health follows from that recognition. And she also gave a general line that could be used for almost any physical complaint, asking that the person be nourished from within and that all disorder in the body dissolve. She said, "All false ideas in my consciousness are now obliterated. The light of the Christ streams through every cell, and I give thanks for my radiant health and happiness now and forevermore." Her protection decree is short and direct. She says, "I am surrounded by the white light of the Christ through which nothing negative can penetrate." And she taught her students to say this over their homes and their families and their daily comings and goings, treating it as a statement of fact rather than a request. And for love and relationships, well, Shin's decrees focus on removing fear and division rather than chasing a particular person or an outcome. I think one of her central lines declares that fear, doubt, anger and resentment should be wiped away, and that love moves through the person as an irresistible current. And Florence also avoided using any kind of negativity. She said a decree that says you are no longer poor still leaves the picture of poverty sitting right in the middle of the sentence. Far better, she says, to name the wanted outcome directly with nothing else attached to it, so the mind has only one clear picture to work from. So decree yourself to be rich. So let's bring all of these threads together then now and give you a very simple way of building decrees of your own, along with something I would like you to try over the coming weeks.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and today we are exploring the extraordinary work by Florence Scovel Shin called Your Word is Your Wand. So we started with the simplest version of the idea of this book, that your words work like seeds, and whatever you speak with feeling is what eventually is sown and then grows in your life garden. And we looked at non-resistance and forgiveness as a way of clearing the ground so something new has room to come through the surface and flourish. And we looked at how intuition shows you one step at a time how precisely to navigate the road ahead to whatever it is that's coming to meet you. And we also looked a little bit at some of the decrees that Florence shared with her students. All of it comes back, though, to a single plain instruction, though. Choose your words the way you would choose which seeds to plant in a garden. Do it with extraordinary care. And Florence believed that those words carry exactly the dream come true that you're seeking. Okay, then. So how do you then build a decree of your own? I would say that the first is that try and observe a phrase that you catch yourself saying that is not what you would actually want to grow in your life garden. So is there something that you caught yourself saying? All right, write that down. It might be as ordinary as saying you never have enough time, or that a certain kind of opportunity never comes your way, or that you have no time to play. You know, it can be anything. Just write it down, because we want to capture that. We're going to work with it. Because what we need to do is to work out the precise opposite of that phrase. Because then when you begin to state that very plainly in the present tense, as though it were already true, that then pulls up the weeds that you don't want growing in the garden, and it makes space for you to sow the seeds of what you do. And then what you do is, when you have created that new phrase, you start to introduce it, bring it into your vocabulary, say that new phrase out aloud, and say it with feeling several times a day in the present tense, and especially at the moment the old phrase would normally have come out of your mouth. All right, so examples, okay? Instead of saying, I never have enough time, your decree might become, I have all the time I need for everything that matters. And for something like, that kind of opportunity never comes my way, you might change that phrase to, the right opportunities come to me easily and at the right time. And for, I have no time for play, the statement becomes, I make time for play every day, and that time comes easily. Each one names the wanted condition in a very direct form, with nothing else attached to it, just exactly the shape of what it is that you want to grow in your garden. And you say it aloud, and you say it with real feeling, and you repeat it at the moment the old phrase would normally surface, and you do it in the present tense. This is something you already have. This is something that you already receive. This is something you already are. Let me invite you then to experiment with this. I've been experimenting with this. I've found it to be absolutely wondrous. And that's one of the reasons why I'm sharing it with you on my show today. Why wouldn't I want to share this marvellous discovery with you? So choose your words as carefully as you can. Your word is your seed sown in your life garden. Create those decrees, those statements that are going to replace the phrases that you use on repeat, that are going to increase the seeds in your garden that you do want. All right. So what we're doing is a bit of weeding out, and what we're trying to do is grow a life garden that is full of the curated seeds that we plant and nurture in it. Okay. So maybe what you need to do in support of the seeds that you're sowing, maybe you need to take some action. Perhaps create the space to place the thing. So, for example, if you're looking to bring a person into your life, create the space so that they can bring their possessions into the space with them. Create a space and they will come. If it's money you're looking for, perhaps create a space where you'd be able to look after that money. I'm sure you'd be able to come up with your own ideas of how you can create a space that activates the circumstance that you're trying to create. And Florence also felt it made sense to ensure that you place a degree of protection over everything as you do this. Your home, your family, your day, just exactly the same way as you would do with any other decree. I suppose a statement made with the same conviction as any other, naming safety as something that's already in place for you rather than something you are waiting to arrive. You know, I walk in the light of the Christ and my fear giants dwindle into nothingness. There is nothing to oppose my good. My fear giants dwindle into nothingness. The power of that phrase. There is nothing to oppose my good. Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to play with that one. So I would encourage you to go and read the book itself if you have the time. If not, I mean, even though it's very short, it's a very plain read, Florence, as with everything she does, she gets the point really quickly. I think, if not, just experiment. Experiment for 7 days, for 30 days, for a single lunar cycle with this. Catch yourself, see what you're sowing in your life garden, and pull up those weeds and in their place perhaps plant something that you would truly like to grow. I would love for you to read the book and see what it plants for you in your life garden. I only want good things for you. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.